Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you guys so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And what a... I've run out of superlatives. I've run out of funny anecdotes or to talk about how crazy it all is, right? Now we're dealing with the riots and the protests. And so like I was telling the audience from KTTH before we were joined by all those good folks from 97.3, we got another curveball thrown at us today. So not only, and you guys should see my office right now, it's pretty funny. We had to put sound panels up around anything. We got a big sound panel up on the window behind me. So it literally does feel like a bunker, the COVID bunker of Bulwark Capital. But even that wasn't good enough. Even that's not good enough because today we're actually recording on a Thursday. So if incredible things happen in the market this Friday, unfortunately, we're going to have to miss them. And the reason we have to record today is because protests are scheduled, I guess, for downtown Tacoma. I don't even know how that works, right? Do you have to file a permit for that, or how do they know these protests are happening? Maybe these are the legal ones that people are being peaceful. Hopefully so. And on the opening segment, I just want to clear something up. I don't want to sound racially insensitive at all or insensitive to what's going on here. If any of you know me, I have a racially mixed family. My wife is African American, black. My children are obviously mixed. And I guess that doesn't guarantee that you don't have racial prejudice, but I am abhorred what I saw in that video. I don't know any of the background. I really don't think there's anything that guy could have done to justify the cop doing that to him. I think it's subhuman. I think the truth of it is this, guys. I think there's some really bad people in this country. I think the vast majority of us are good people. We may have disagreements politically, but I would just love to get back to a place where we can discuss those differences, right? Where just because you think differently than me doesn't make me think you're evil, right? If you tell somebody you're a Trump voter, you're a racist. You tell somebody you voted for Hillary Clinton, you're a socialist. We can't really believe that, right? Are there those people? Yes, but they're not the majority. And I think the vast majority of Americans want to live a good life, work hard, have a safe place to raise their children and build a business and retire and enjoy the fruits of their labor. I think we all need to be careful. And I'm not turning this again into a political show. I said it in the intro with KTTH. You got plenty of places to hear that. I don't want to say that. I wanted to fully explain, A, why we're broadcasting on a Thursday. One of the advantages to doing this radio show is there is a cathartic aspect to it. I feel like I've gotten to know so many of you and feel like you get to discuss things. And all too often, the things that we end up making segments on the radio show are things that have grated on me all week or things that I thought were unbelievable. But I'm sure you're all feeling the same thing, the same frustration, hopefully not fear. And I just gotta believe that brighter days are ahead. That's the prayer and the hope. Anyway, without further ado, let's get in the market update. Again, we got plenty of places to go hear all this stuff. We want to keep this focused. This is a place where we can go. It's a no political zone unless it interferes with finance. So let's try to keep things that way. Market update. One of the interesting things we've seen, and I really haven't mentioned it, and I probably shouldn't even mention it now because you ever see that movie? You ever see Gladiator, right? The movie Gladiator, Russell Crowe's in there. There's a scene in there where the emperor's talking to him. It's the beginning of the movie. And he goes, you know, Rome was a dream that's so delicate you couldn't even whisper it, right? For fear of it getting away, right? I joked with my buddy. That's sort of how I feel as a value investor, right? Value has underperformed for so long One of the really cool or interesting things, not, I wouldn't say cool. One of the interesting things about the last 2-3 weeks is that in this whole run up, value stocks really had not performed. They'd kind of hit where they were and they'd kind of stayed there. And now, granted, the advantage we had in our value portfolio is that didn't hurt us nearly as bad because we didn't take anywhere near as much as the brunt. Our value portfolio, when during the drop there in March, we were down about 1/3 as much as the overall market. So that wasn't as destructive to us because of the hedging and the protection we put into the portfolio. But still, you hadn't seen life being breathed into value for a very long time. And in the last 2.5 weeks... you know, value's been on a tear. That is an interesting development to me. Now the troubling thing is that there a lot of these value stocks that we've been investing or looking at for the last, you know, 8-9 years. Now those things are running up to levels that don't make a lot of sense. Not all of them, but some of them certainly. I guess if you got a stock ticker symbol, that makes you a buy these days. It's pretty crazy. That shift or that short-term movement into value type stocks, that may be short-lived. We've seen other teasers like this. This one's got a little more amplitude to it, a little more staying power. So it's definitely something to watch. One of the most interesting things I saw this week, and I'll explain to you why. But if you look at short positioning on the S&P 500, so people that are betting that the S&P 500 is going to fall, short positioning on the S&P 500. Now, this is a data point I saw and I read a report about it, but don't quote me, because some of the specifics of this might be a little bit off. But essentially, the short interest on the S&P 500, the amount of people, the amount of bets out there betting that the market is going to go down has reached something like the lowest level we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years, which is remarkable when you consider the run-up that we've had with the economic backdrop that we've got, which is as bad as any of us have seen in our lifetime, especially now that, you know, the NASDAQ 100 has set new highs in the year. It's up on the year. It's up. It's a reason to buy stocks, or stonks, as some people are calling them now, which I think is pretty funny. But I'll explain to you what that means. So I heard somebody's analysis and go, you know, that means this rally is here to stay. Everybody's afraid to bet against the market. I think there's an element of truth to that. But the real story is that this rally has been so incessant and so violent and so nonsensical, meaning that, look, there's a lot of, and we've talked about this on the show a million times, right? There is a lot of subjectivity involved in investing. There are times where, and I can tell you story after story, there are times where we have done deep research on a company and exactly what we thought played out and the stock still didn't follow. You know, a lot of you probably know the call that we made on Boeing stock last March when we came on and we did a whole show on Boeing and said, it was March 1st, actually, and I believe the second plane crashed on March 7th, something like that. Obviously, we had no idea that another plane was going to crash and that would precipitate the catastrophic fall for Boeing, or at least kick it off. But there's another aspect of that, is that we made that call, and I think it made us look a lot smarter than we were, because that was the all-time high. That day was the all-time high for Boeing. And I was explaining to one of my employees, I said, look, and we were not lucky because the plane crashed. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that a stock that hot, that is so highly, that is so separated from where it should actually be valued at, you know, when we were right, the research we done it's all come out. We were proven virtually up and down and the board's correct. But here's the reality is that in a market like this where facts don't care, Boeing could have easily gone to 550. Right now, and had it done that, it has said, oh, your research is wrong. Well, it wasn't. And this is one of the tough things that is really tough right now, because another one of my employees goes, well, yeah, but Boeing can't go higher than this. And I looked at him and I go, oh, good. I think Boeing got up to 165, 170 or something like that. And I go, what's to say it couldn't? Is it worth the level it's trading at right now on a rational basis? No. Even at 170, it's too high. And I'm just using the exact same research and data we have based on where we said it was too high at 440. Does that mean it should go to zero? No. Does that mean we think it's going bankrupt? No. What it means, though, is it's just another illustration of how you guys have got to accept it and get it out of your mind that the share price of a stock is what it's worth. It's not. The share price is the market's belief of what something is worth, or it's the market's interpretation of what something is worth, and that can change instantly. And I think it plays out on both sides. I think way too many people, we were looking at one of the things that we said right during the middle of the crisis was, look, one of the things you could do is go to 25% cash, 25% stocks, 25% gold, and 25% treasuries. We actually went back and looked, and had you done that, you've done pretty well. You've gotten a really solid bounce back. Gold rallied, treasuries rallied from that moment on. And you've done really well. You know, have you done as well as you'd been if, you know, straight Zoom Technologies or all NASDAQ stocks? No, but you'd done really well. You got a good chunk of this rally. Both treasuries and gold went up. So, you know, there's many different ways to skin a cat is what I'm saying. But I think the really important thing, and for those of you out there trading your own accounts, right? For those of you out there doing this on your own, I don't think you're going to become clients of me, but let me just issue a warning. All right. When we said what we said at the beginning of February and said, guys, this is bad. You need protection. Take some off the table. Whenever we say something like that, we get blowback. Like I've told you before, we'll actually get people calling into the station to try to tell me that they disagree with me. I had a new one this week. I had a gentleman mail a letter to me today or this week explaining to me all the errors I was making in stock picking. And it was, I have no clue what the guy does. There are a lot of spelling errors in there, but he was trying to learn me good. And so I read it because at this moment I could use a tip from anybody. Right. But it is a very dangerous moment for investors. We are trained to, I think our reaction to markets falling is more biological. I think there's a tendency to panic there. There's a tendency to feel dread and fear. Especially in light of what we've seen happen here economically and societally speaking now. And then there's this function also when we see markets return to, you know, where we're at now, which is breathtaking, you know, NASDAQ virtually back at all-time highs again, and markets essentially have made a round trip. You've still got the S&P, you know, 7-8% away from its all-time high, and Dow's not quite there either. But basically, right, we're right back to where we were. And I think that what you're seeing now is investors sitting there saying, okay, things are back to normal. They're not. And you may think that I'm too negative. That's fine. What I am telling you is unequivocally, over the next 16 months, 18 months, I'm willing to bet my career on it, that the valuations you see here on stocks have nothing to do with reality. These companies will not make the type of profit in 2021 that they made in 2019. So you hear the people out there saying, oh, throw 2020 away. It's a throwaway. Yeah, do so at your own risk. I have no idea when reality will set back in. And one of the ways you can ask yourself, guys, is quit looking at stocks. Quit looking at the market and sit down and ask yourself, are stocks worth more or equal today what they were worth a year ago? Meaning, as we look forward today, do we believe these companies will do as well as they did in 2019 and better going forward? Of course not. Of course, does that mean it's going to be a Mad Max world? Does that mean that everything's going to come down and we're going to be bartering with gold and canned food? No, but be rational. Think about the amount of companies that aren't coming back. Think about the structurally higher unemployment going forward. Think about the amount of companies out there downsizing their footprint in commercial real estate that are going to be having more people work from home because of this. Think about the people that are not going to be using air travel as much because they're going to be doing more of this stuff on conference calls and video calls and all that kind of stuff. Think about the companies right now that are reining in the amount of cash because of all the uncertainty over the next 16 to 18 months. These people that are out there pitching this V-shaped recovery nonsense to you, you know, and I'm not going to say that they're trying to mislead you. I think some of them probably believe it. But we can be realists without being pessimists, right? I've been, Zach, you're too negative. I am not negative. I am not positive. My job is to make money regardless of what goes on in markets. I am a realist. Why am I a realist? Because if I'm not, it hurts. I lose money. I don't have the luxury of writing my opinions. And I'm sorry, when you're sitting at home and you're managing your own stock market, especially when you see the stocks that you've picked over the last 2 months going through the roof, there's this inherent desire as investors to believe that we knew, to believe that we are smarter than, that we've got it figured out. And what I'm pleading at with you, again, just looking at, whether you're a client of ours or not, I don't want to see you get wrecked. But what I'm pleading with investors to do is not sell everything. We never even said that in the middle of the crisis, because we didn't. But again, if you think that the risk is gone and you know it's clear sailing ahead, Godspeed, best of luck, because it's not. And if you just look at it economically, again, I don't think it's the end of the world. I think this is going to be an issue that we deal with for years, trying to come back from. And when you think geopolitically, you think of the issues with China, relations with us and China have moved decidedly south. That's the first and second largest economy in the world. That's going to be an economic headwind. Coronavirus, until there's a vaccine, that's going to be a headwind. Even after there's a vaccine, it's going to be a headwind. It's changing behaviors. Not permanently, but for a while. And God forbid there's a set. Anyway, it just, look, you're seeing the market right now tell you there is nothing wrong. And the next segment we're going to do is I'm going to explain to you an area of the economy that should be tied right along with the stock market. And yet the reality in that market is completely different than what you are seeing in the stock market. So we'll get into that, but let's wrap this up here. On the valuation side, really interesting data point out. Now, so what we did is we looked at, and it wasn't us that put this together, but we'd put out a similar data point. We looked at valuations. As you guys know, we're big, big believers in valuations. But we look at valuations, and on virtually every metric you look at right now, you are looking at, and before in the past, we'd said, you know, 8 out of the 9 are at record. 9, all across the board, you've got record high stock valuations. We are higher than 99. We are in rarefied air. How much higher are we? Unbelievably so. Meaning nobody would argue, despite the fact what they do in their stock account, nobody would argue in this industry that earnings over the next 12 months, profits created by companies over the next 12 months will be significantly depressed from the levels they were at in 2019, okay? And yet stocks are back to that level, which means that the stocks just returning back to that same price are substantially more expensive because we know that they will make way less profit over the next 12 months. So you are paying more for a company that will produce less. Where you're like, well, I'm betting long-term. Well, great, but you're paying record value. That's the other big disconnect is don't tell me you're paying. When you tell me you're buying something for long-term, that typically means that you are buying something at a depressed price that hasn't done well, and you're going to ignore recent events and you're going to bet on the long run. And that's called value investing. When you are buying things at record highs and you're telling me you're betting on the long term, I will tell you that that is reverse thinking. Okay, over the long term, the vast majority of that stuff you're buying at record highs will perform poorly because you bought it at a record high. Think about Amazon. Would you love to have bought Amazon in 2012, 2013? Of course you would have. But had you bought Amazon in 2000, you would have been underwater and negative on that investment for 13 years. Now, was it worth it? Well, sure. If you could go back and watch yourself woefully underperform the S&P 500 for a 13-year period of time and just hold that Amazon stock, and if you did it, congratulations. But the amount of investors that are going to stick with something that long, I mean, it's just unrealistic. So if you look at valuations now, what we refer to as the Buffett yardstick, or the total market capitalization, if we add up all the stocks in the United States and compare that to the size of the economy, the long-term average, I want to say on that metric is like 90 or 96, something like that, where all the stocks typically equate to like 95, 96% of the entire economy. As of right now, that level is at 202%. So the stock valuations are worth double the size of the economy. And that's the Buffett yardstick, because Buffett has long said that's his favorite way to look at a market in terms of valuation of whether it's overvalued. When we were in the tech bubble, I believe that number got to like 155, 160. So you're a good 25, 30% above that. It's just, and again, is it ridiculous? Yes, it's insane. But the historian in me has to sit back and go, that's amazing. Who would have thought that a pandemic with depressionary level unemployment would deliver the most valuable U.S. stock markets of all time? I mean, you gotta laugh. Right. And this is one of the reasons. Now, I wish I'd have told you to be 100% stocks. And, you know, I had a crystal ball and I could have told you that. But this is one of the reasons you don't sell all your stocks, because crazy things happen. Now, what I will tell you, again, going back in history, is that when stock valuations, you know, again, go look at the NASDAQ. How long did it take the NASDAQ to recover after it got to those ridiculous valuations in 99 and 2000? I don't think the NASDAQ recovered those highs until 14 years later, something like that. And that's typically what we see. It's not that we're saying you're going to go broke or everything's going to go to zero, but people that are buying at these valuations, what it tells us is that, now, here's the key. It doesn't tell us what that performance is going to be over the next 2 years. So that's why I've said this could go substantially higher. We're not tethered by reality. When you're not tethered by reality, what's the difference between going up 40% and going up 80%? Who knows? Who knows how high this hot air balloon goes? But I do think in due time that hot air balloon with no limit will soon be seen as the Hindenburg, right? It's going to burn. Unless you believe this time's different. Unless you believe there is no valuation too much. And it's amazing when you get into these bubbles, much like real estate in 2006, 2007, much like tech in 99 and 2000, people, it's shocking to me how many people believe that. But that's human, right? That's human nature. And, you know, there's been some great books about it. One that I could recommend is, what is it? It's The Madness of Crowds or something like that. I'm forgetting. I should have written it down for you guys. But, you know, if you Google The Madness of Crowd book, you'll see it. And it's the history of manias and bubbles and things like that. And it's a fascinating study, because you realize that no matter how many times it happens, people are still willing to suspend disbelief and buy into something that historically, when we look back, will be seen as ludicrous. Wait a second. You bought stocks at a record high valuation in the midst of the greatest economic shock in history, and you wonder why your 10-year performance over the next 10 years was trash? Why on earth would you do that? Well, I got another one for you. Why in the world would you buy bonds paying 2.5% to 3% at 0% interest rates? That's even crazier. Why do I say that? Because bonds can't go up another 80%. Stocks theoretically could. At least you got a chance to win. So crazy times. Absolutely crazy times. But I will say this. I did an interview with Business Insider and Yahoo Finance or something last week. And the questions they want to discuss, the things they want to talk about were, what about all the protests and rioting? How will that impact the markets? And I said, it's not going to impact them at all. They kind of shockingly respond, well, what do you mean? And I go, guys, look at the unemployment rate. Look at the government debt and deficits. Look at what's going on around you. Look at, and we're back at all-time highs. You think people rioting in the streets are going to stop this? It's not tied to reality. Should it affect it? Probably should. I don't think it'd be the cause of a crash or anything like that. But again, sit back and acknowledge. Don't try to do mental gymnastics and try to make it make sense. It's okay to sit back and go, this is nuts. It's okay to sit back and cash 40 or 50% of your portfolio out and sit in cash until it normalizes. And for people that tell you I'm being irresponsible, that's what Buffett's doing. That's what David Tepper's doing. Some of the best in the world, that's what they're doing. So, you know, use your horse sense, use your judgment. And if it doesn't make sense, don't do it. There's this whole lie, you've got to be in the market. Look, I'm not pushing market timing. I also know when I say this, there's some of you that are the Vanguard diehards are going to be like, oh, he's wrong. He's irresponsible. That's fine. If you're not going to sell some stocks and take some profits when valuations hit a historic high they've never been to before, my question to you is, when will you? Remember, at some point to finance your retirement, you got to sell something. Right? You can't send the power company a half a share of Berkshire Hathaway. You can't go pay your groceries with half a share of Microsoft. So I told clients all the time, hey, yeah, if you want to have $250,000 sitting in your checking account and only have 60 or 70% of your assets invested, you bet. I don't think that's a bad idea. Because remember, you're not a hedge fund. What you need to do is finance the rest of your life. So quit trying to keep up with the market. Quit trying. Well, be... And I'll just tell you right now, greed is driving a lot of you guys. You're going to justify it by, well, you never know with the stock market. Guys, every time you've been here before, what happened? And it just did. Now, I'll repeat the same thing. We told you last week, we thought it was a bear market rally. We didn't think it could pass 200-day moving average. It has. So what do I think now? I think all bets are off. I think this thing could levitate to infinity. You know, I mean, or it could just as easily all of a sudden for no reason reflect reality and do a repeat of the 5 weeks of disaster. So what the only advantage you have in this environment, the one advantage you have is in this environment, whether you recognize it or not, the one advantage you have is time frames. You have a longer time outlook than anybody else does. You're not a hedge fund trying to compete against other hedge funds, has to beat the market every single year. You have the ability as a retail investor to have a long-term outlook. If you underperform for the next year or 16 months or whatever it is, who cares? What are you trying to do? You're trying to finance the rest of your life. And to finance the rest of your life, the money has to be there. Right? The return on your money becomes much less as important as the availability of your money. As the return of your capital. The joke is that there are times where the return on your capital isn't as important as the return of your capital. And it doesn't matter what return you're getting. If the money isn't there when you retire, you've lost. Because you don't have 15 years to wait for it to recover. You need income now. So think long-term, guys. And as always, if you want a risk-managed portfolio, if you want to be... Get the vast majority of the upside of the stock market, drastically lower your fees and your risk, call us. We're having a nice little run here. And that portfolio now, where most of our clients are close to or all considered, you know, even or slightly positive on the year, whatever, they were only down 6.5-7% at the bottom. There's a better way to do it. You don't need to have this consternation or heartburn. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @KYRRadio. Anyway, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson. Next Wednesday at 3 p.m., right after the Beg Show, I'll be joining Brian Ott with 525 Advisors for his live webinar. You'll learn all about the new long-term care plans offered by Brian and 525 Advisors. They protect your savings, they protect your family, and the plan we got
pays us back if we never use it. Having a long-term care plan, it brings certainty to a very uncertain situation. It allows you to stay in control of your care options, and maybe most importantly, it brings peace of mind to your family during an extremely stressful situation. So reserve your spot today. Join Brian and me next Wednesday, June 10th at 3 p.m. I'll kick things off and share my long-term care story. Make sure to reserve your spot today at 525longtermcare.com. Brian does keep the webinar classes small to allow time for Q&A. It creates a great learning environment. Sign up now. It's all free, and I'll be part of it as well. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us through the break. And let's get, as always, went over time in the market update. Got to fire it up. I shouldn't allow myself to say valuation. Right? It's like I get lost in a vacuum. It's a valuation, just tractor beam, right? Lose all concept of space and time. Anyway, let's move right into it. Now, I teased this segment earlier by talking about a fairly sizable and important part of the market that it very much is reflecting reality, even though the stock market's not. And I personally believe it's a big tell. Okay, and I think it's a big tell because this market, by definition, has to function on reality. It doesn't have the benefit of having a stock ticker. And we've talked about this on the show before. If one of the reasons people are so patient with their homes, now, the development of sites like Zillow and stuff have made this a little bit worse, but one of the reasons in general that people are more patient with their homes as forms of investment is A, because they live in them. So regardless of what the value is doing, they get the utility of that investment on a daily basis. The other reason is because they don't have a stock ticker tied to their home. They're not watching it go up and down and, oh, there was a fire, you know, on Highway 16. So your home in Gig Harbor is now worth 6% less. It fell in a day, right? That's what the stock market does. And a similar market to that is the private equity market, which is private companies, and the VC, the venture capital market. Now, the difference between the two is private equity or private companies that have cash flow, right? They've got an established business model, that they're a fairly mature company, and you invest in those companies and you invest privately, which means you do the same thing. You buy stock from them, but you go to the company directly and you buy a piece of ownership in that corporation. Now, one of the downsides of that business is, unlike stocks, you can't push a button and sell it, right? So what do we see traditionally in that market? Traditionally, we see a more level-headed approach. Traditionally, you see people do homework a little bit more because they don't have the advantage of capturing the public's imagination and that venture going up by 5x over the course of a six-month period of time, like public stocks. Now, there are some private equity companies that do that for various reasons. And what we had seen is that the private equity market leading up to this crash that we had was behaving much like the stock market. Venture capital, on the other hand, are startup companies, companies that are not profitable, companies that may not even have revenue, right? You're funding a dream. And you're doing it privately. It's not a publicly traded stock. So a lot of the same principles apply, right? If you've got to buy it, first of all, you're married to it like you are a house. You can't just push a button and sell it. Second of all, the valuation or what drives the investment traditionally is the actual progress of the company. Because again, we can't put out a creative research report and have it capture the public's imagination and just have the stock go parabolic. So in some ways, traditionally, it's a more true form of investing. Now, what we had seen leading up to this crash was the exact inverse. The private equity market was the market that had birthed a lot of these tech companies. And money was flooding into the private equity space at record paces. And we saw a lot of the same idiocy happening in private equity and venture capital markets that we saw in public markets. Now, the interesting thing, and we have a, we and I don't want to talk a lot about it because I deal with it, but again, as risk managers, We've talked about our bond replacement strategy. I think it's obvious that we think outside the box. And one of the things we have done with our clients is there are very select number of private equity and venture capital things that we have found that we think offer our clients wonderful A, diversification of their portfolio, and they were fantastic businesses with fantastic opportunities. And we presented our clients with the ability to invest, not a lot, but as a diversifier in the portfolio. And it's also, funny enough, it's a way to get outside of general market risk, meaning that, you know, some of the companies that will, not a lot, but some of the companies whose stocks got annihilated 5 weeks ago, they were going to have little to no impact from the virus, right? But their stocks fall because everybody's stocks fall when that, in crises like that, we have a saying, which is correlations go to one. Everything just gets thrown out the window. And that's one of the other advantages to owning private equity and venture capital. Again, it depends on the company. Now, the interesting thing about this is that you have not seen a bounce back in venture capital and private equity, anything like you've seen in the stock market. As a matter of fact, it's crisis management in those markets right now. And those markets have become very large because of all the craziness that was going on and because everybody trying to chase the next Facebook. And what we've seen is we have seen the price of deals come down dramatically, right? Because the valuations had to correct. Because in private equity, remember, people are thinking rationally. They're like, wait, if you want me to own this asset and I can't push the button and sell it at a moment's notice, I'm really going to do my due diligence because I think the next 3 years are going to be crazy and rough. Now, the irony is you ask that guy about a stock portfolio. Oh, I'm long and strong. Right? You see a massive disconnect there. But in the private equity and the venture capital markets, it is very much different. There are a lot of companies that are in huge trouble, not just because of what is going on. Obviously, the environment and what's going on in the economy has made their businesses much more challenged and much more troublesome. But also because of some of the leverage they were deploying, the amount of debt that some of these companies had taken on, this has presented a real problem. And here's my point. All the companies you're out there buying on the stock market, they are facing the same problems. This is what I was saying in the market update. Their prices are not reflecting the realities. I think Amazon, we've talked about this before. Amazon's a great example. They're a great company. They're going to make it through this just fine. What happened to their earnings in quarter one? They got hit by 20%. It's not a death knell. They also warned of more losses in quarter two. There's a couple here and there, guys, but there are no companies. I mean, Zoom's there. Everybody's fixated on Zoom. Look, I think it's a good product. I think the valuation is absolutely insane, especially when you look at who Zoom is going to be competing against in the future. They're going to be going up against Microsoft and Google. Good luck. Right? And that's just the disconnect you see in these valuations and what's happened to these stock markets. But what you need to know is that other markets out there that are inherently, just due to their structure and their nature, more tied to reality, they are telling a very different story. And I think that they are showing, I think it's a precursor of what you're going to see. Now, it might take a year, like I've told you. Maybe the S&P goes to 4,500 or 5,000 before that happens. But this gets back into our discussion about what is your advantage as an investor. Your advantage is you have the luxury, unlike a lot of these fund managers, to think long term. You do not need to be fully invested in the stock market at all times. I'll go another level. I think if you're fully invested in the stock market right now, you are playing with fire, and I think it's lunacy. And I don't care what emails I get. I really don't. I'll just go out there on a limb and say it. Do I think you should sell everything? No. What do you need to do? You need to manage your risk. Well, you can't ever sell. Every one of us has to sell. That's how we pay for our lifestyle. So take a nod from the private equity world right now. Take a tip from the venture capital markets and realize that this story, this narrative that's driving this of this quick V-backed recovery, there is only one place that is advertising that as a possible reality, and that is the stock market. And unfortunately, that's the one place that every Tom, Dick, and Harry can participate in. What do you need? You need a risk management strategy, guys. And there's an easy way to ride this thing up, make money to the upside. You don't have to go all in. But more importantly, if and when reality reasserts its ugly face, it's not going to blow away 5 years of your retirement. It's not going to delay your retirement. And we can lower your fees and increase your upside in the process. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Get our free booklet, Common Sense Investing, for our bond replacement strategies, which continue to do great. Blows me away that more people aren't using them, but it is what it is. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. Stick with us next, or stick with us through the break. We'll be right back with another segment. Going to talk a little bit about some bonds and some interesting things we've seen in the bond market. So stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson. Next Wednesday at 3 p.m., right after the Beg Show, I'll be joining Brian Ott with 525 Advisors for his live webinar. You'll learn all about the new long-term care plans offered by Brian and 525 Advisors. They protect your savings, they protect your family, and the plan we got pays us back if we never use it. Having a long-term care plan, it brings certainty to a very uncertain situation. It allows you to stay in control of your care options, and maybe most importantly, it brings peace of mind to your family during an extremely stressful situation. So reserve your spot today. Join Brian and me next Wednesday, June 10th at 3 p.m. I'll kick things off and share my long-term care story. Make sure to reserve your spot today at 525longtermcare.com. Brian does keep the webinar classes small to allow time for Q&A. It creates a great learning environment. Sign up now. It's all free, and I'll be part of it as well. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us and sticking with us. You didn't really join us, you stuck with us. But anyway, want to jump right into this one. And I know, look, if you've listened to the show a long time, you've probably heard me rant on bonds. Bond replacement strategy. Dory's talking about it on the radio all the time. And quite honestly, I don't talk about it as much because it, you know, to me, it feels like a little bit of a dead horse. But I continue. The other thing I'm aware of is that every week you have new people listening. And as you guys know, we do this show a lot different than a lot of the other shows running on here. We're not following the infomercial guidelines, right? It's all about sharing good information. Hopefully, we get clients out of it. You want to call. If not, at least it's a source of good information. And do the right thing. Put out good information. Business takes care of itself. And that's been true for us. But moving all these new clients over, and we've had a lot of new clients this year. Thank you to all of them. But I continue to be absolutely amazed at the proliferation and the continued use of bonds and portfolios, the 60-40 portfolio. I continue to be amazed by it. Because nobody has had any good success doing that for 20 years. 20 years. And the reasons are so obvious. And this isn't me trying to beg on any financial advisor out there. Again, you guys have heard me say it over and over. I don't blame the financial advisors, right? I've told you about the Morgan Stanley paper about 60-40 portfolios. If you haven't read it, get on the internet after you're done. Notice how I say that. After you're done listening. All right, you can't miss the most scintillating hour in finance radio. But seriously, go out there and Google it. If you're a Morgan Stanley client, go Google it. Why you haven't gotten this, I don't know. Okay, I have nothing against Morgan Stanley. I'm not bagging on Morgan Stanley advisors at all. Again, I don't think it's the advisor's fault. For the most part, advisors are going to sell you what the bank tells them to sell. Okay, and they might tell you that's what they're not what they're doing. But it is. I worked at three of the biggest firms on Wall Street. I'm telling you, that's the way it works. So I it's no knock on the advisor. But go read the Morgan Stanley portfolio, the 60-40. Just Google in Morgan Stanley 60-40. It'll come up. And those portfolios have been a disaster. Okay, now think about the last 12 years. What's happened to the stock market? Longest bull market in history. Longest one ever. Biggest one ever. S&P up more than 330%. NASDAQ up better than 500%. How is a portfolio like that perform poorly over that period of time? It's not the stocks. A lot of people go, maybe my advisor just doesn't pick good funds. And I go, no, funds are fine. Look at the stock funds. They did great. I mean, I think there's a better way to do it. Right? I mean, I think that for the most part, I think the whole mutual fund approach, there's a couple exceptions. Vanguard has got some ETF index fund type mutual funds that are just like owning an ETF. There's another company out there that I think has problems. Well, not problems, but they're a low fee. They're a good mutual fund. They've had good runs. DFA, Dimensional Fund Advisors. I think they're decent mutual funds. I think they have a flawed premise, but they're not killing you on fees and they're not bad, you know. Outside of that though, the whole mutual fund thing is really outdated. But that being said, there's a lot of equity, a lot of stock-based mutual funds out there that have done great. Most have. What's killed the performance of that portfolio? It's the bonds. And if I sound excited about it, I am, because it is senseless. The reason you've got the bonds in your portfolio is because of the protection. It's the defensive part of your portfolio. And guys, if you heard me say this a million times, please don't just turn off the radio. It's not going to be a long segment here, but I just want to I am shocked by all these client portfolios, including Morgan Stanley, that have moved over to us. And they're still in the 60-40 portfolio, even though the research department in their same firm put out an entire study, an entire paper about the failure of the 60-40 portfolio. And here's the deal. It's really simple, guys. Do not confuse bonds and stocks. Bonds cannot just keep going up. Bonds are determined almost entirely by interest rates. When interest rates go down, bonds go up in value. Okay, well, interest rates are at zero. How much more can the bond go up in value? People go, well, maybe the Fed's going to go negative. If the Fed goes negative, guys, they will be negative for a very short period of time. How do I know that? Because Japan and Europe have already tried it. It didn't work. Does it mean the Fed won't do it? No, the Fed tries a lot of insane nonsense that doesn't work. You know, for instance, the Fed told us, Ben Bernanke told us in 2009, the Fed would be back to a neutral balance sheet by 2012. Well, they've doubled the balance sheet since 2012, round, if not more. Okay, the Fed does a lot of nonsensical stuff because they're academics, they're economists looking only at their models, and they refuse to acknowledge that markets do not work in their academic straight line predictable way, no matter how bad their forecasts are, which they're awful. I mean, if you followed what the Fed told you to do, you'd be broke, right? I just hearken you back to, was it 06? Ben Bernanke, the problems in subprime are contained, right? Little did he know So, but the whole thing with bonds are is that unless you believe interest rates can go substantially lower, your best case scenario in bonds are the interest they're currently paying you. Net of fees, what is the average bond fund out there paying you? Somewhere between 2 to 3%. And then a lot of you are paying an advisory fee on top of that. So what we see commonly is the average client out there is making somewhere between 1-1.5% net a year on their bonds. And then every time the market drops, the bonds are dropping like a rock right with the stocks. Guys, it is the easiest way to improve your security and improve your returns and lower your cost. The bond replacement strategy. They go, well, I like my stock guy. Then keep your stock guy, but get rid of the bloody bonds. And if you don't like our bond replacement strategy, you'd be better off in a CD. Why? You're going to get probably a better rate of return. You're going to get paid more interest from the CD than the bonds are, net of fees. But the CD is insured against loss. If you are investing in bonds right now, you are taking risk without any return. You're not getting paid for the risk you're taking. And if you don't think there's a lot of risk, pull up your bond funds and watch how they performed during the month of March. They got slaughtered. They go, oh, well, they bounced back. Well, great. They're still not back to their highs. And they better bounce back because they're paying you net of fees less than the inflation rate. The bond situation, and if you don't believe me, go pull up Warren Buffett's interview on CNBC where he said, look, stocks are really expensive, but bonds make zero sense. They're even more expensive. So just, guys, if you're still in a 60-40 portfolio, you're getting taken advantage of. They don't work. Don't take my message for gospel. Go read it yourself. Go listen to what Buffett says. Go pull up what Morgan Stanley says. Even if you're a Morgan Stanley client, go Google Morgan Stanley 60/40. And then figure out something else to do. Give us a call. Get our Common Sense Investing booklet about our bond replacement strategy. It's a no-brainer. You're going to get way more upside. You're going to be insured against loss without a fee. It's such an easy way to increase people's returns. It's frustrating. Anyway, you guys know the drill. Give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You can email us if you don't want to call. Get the booklet. Get out of bonds. Anyway, we got to run. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. And we will be back next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH and 97.3 Cairo FM.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.